You're listening to A Prissity by Millie Wilcox, Chapter 19, An Easter Message.
Grandma Gail and Grandpa Charlie were gathering everyone inside for a special Easter message. The living room was full to the brim. Most of the grown-ups sat on the couches and folding chairs. Stephanie and Chris sat down at the bottom step that led upstairs. Most of the kids sat on the floor. Amara snuggled into Chris's arms. Caleb sat on Charlie's lap, and Gail was holding Jake's new baby.
Charlie stood up next to the piano. He put his hand up and slowly put down each of his fingers, counting down. When he put down the last finger, miraculously, all the kids were quiet. He had such a loving but awe-inspiring presence about him that the kids couldn't help but respect him. Stephanie knew the quiet wouldn't last long, as the kids were now all pumped full of sugar. Charlie must have thought the same thing, because he didn't waste any time.
"What do you like about Easter?"
he asked. The kids shouted,
"Grandma's Easter!
Easter basket!
Bunnies!"
Matthew shouted, and he hopped on his knees like a rabbit.
"Hop, hop, hop."
Everyone chuckled. Charlotte raised her hand, and Grandpa pointed at her.
"We get to celebrate Jesus,"
she said knowingly.
"Why?"
Charlie asked.
"Because he died for us."
"Why do we celebrate that he died for us?"
"Because it means we can repent."
"But why would you want to repent?"
"Well, because it means we can be with God again."
Charlotte was sounding a little less confident in her answers.
"Why do we want to be with God?"
Charlie pressed.
"Well, because..."
Charlotte hesitated.
"Because it will make us happy."
Trey helped her.
"Hmm,"
Charlie replied. He paused while everyone thought about it.
"I agree that being with God will make us very happy."
He trailed off thinking.
"And the goal is to be happy, right?"
The kids all looked at him. They must have been worried about getting into a back and forth with him like Charlotte, because no one answered.
"Raise your hand if you like to be happy,"
Charlie announced. The kids all raised their hand, except for Levi, who thought it was funny to be contrary.
"Levi, why don't you want to be happy?"
Charlie asked. Levi shrugged.
"You gotta tell us now. Stick by your conviction."
"Well, I don't want to be happy all the time,"
Levi replied.
"Why?"
"I don't know."
"Hmm. Is happiness the only feeling we want to feel forevermore?"
Everyone was quiet, thinking.
"Is happiness the only feeling that Jesus feels?"
No one answered.
"Trey, was Jesus happy all the time?"
"No,"
Trey replied.
"It says in the scriptures Jesus wept."
"It does say in the scriptures that Jesus wept. Very good. But aren't we supposed to be like Jesus?"
The kids nodded.
"It also says in the scriptures that Jesus told us to be of good cheer. So yes, Jesus does want us to be happy. But suffering and pain are a part of life. That's one of the ways we grow. Who here has ever felt pain?"
Many of the kids raised their hands.
"What about suffering?"
Charlie glanced over at Stephanie.
"What about grief?"
He looked at Chris. Stephanie and Chris nodded.
"Did Jesus feel these things too? It says in the scriptures that surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows."
Gail nodded her agreement.
"President Nelson said, there is no limit to the Savior's capacity to help you."
She read from a paper in her hand.
"His incomprehensible suffering in Gethsemane and on Calvary was for you. His infinite atonement was for you. Jesus said, I will be on your right hand and on your left, and my spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up."
Gail smiled tenderly at Stephanie. Stephanie knew there had been countless angels to bear her up these last few months. Gail continued to quote the prophet.
"Jesus Christ took upon himself your pains, your heartaches, your infirmities, and your sins. You do not have to bear them alone."
She smiled at Chris.
"He will bless you with what you need. He will forgive you as you repent. He will heal your wounded soul."
Gail paused to let the message sink in.
"Yes, Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to feel joy and peace. And because of him, we can experience joy and peace even through our suffering and hardships."
Chris glanced at Stephanie.
And not only that, but we know that our hardships make our joy greater. That was the point to Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden. Without the sorrow, they could not know the joy. And the reason our sorrow can be coupled with joy is because of our Savior.
Charlie took over again.
Right, like in D&C 29:39. It must needs be that the devil should tempt the children of men, or they could not be agents unto themselves. For if they never should have the bitter, they could not know the sweet. But don't you worry. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." In our lives, we will have countless troubles. Jesus had countless troubles and persecution throughout his life. But the promise of Easter is that regardless of what troubles we have in our lives, regardless of the trials we endure, we can have this kind of peace, also known as hope, through Christ, that we can overcome all things just as he did. It is a hope that his promises will be fulfilled in our individual lives. It is a hope that he didn't just save everyone, but he saved me.
Charlie pointed at Matthew.
And you.
Matthew giggled.
And you.
He pointed at Levi.
And you.
Charlie pointed at Chris, and Chris looked down at Amara, who was now sleeping in his lap.
He saved each of you as if you were the only one that had ever lived. All he asks is that we repent and continue to try. Not that we be perfect. He already did the perfect part.
Children, I want you to know that as your grandma, I know that Jesus Christ lives and that he died for us and that he rose again so that we would be able to live with him and with our Heavenly Father forever. All we have to do is repent and believe in him and have the hope that that gives to us in our lives. And I bear that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So I would like to share with you the fact that I know Jesus Christ personally. He is a friend. And he knows each one of you individually. He loves you. And you had a personal relationship with him before this life. That in fact, he cares for you. And he cares so much that he came to earth, lived in poverty, lived a very special life, and that he suffered as the only one who could on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we can return to our Heavenly Father who loves us also. And he will lift us up through Jesus Christ. And I bear this testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Chris?
Charlie said. Chris looked at him, surprised to hear his name.
You want to give us a closing prayer?
Sure.
Chris sort of folded one arm because the other one was under Amara. Then he said the closing prayer. After he was done, the kids started chatting excitedly. Brayden and Levi started wrestling. The room was so crowded that they kept bumping into the other kids. The girls kept squealing and pushing them away. Stephanie turned to Chris. Hey, Jace. She started to say. She stopped herself. Chris looked at her. He gave her a kind smile and put his free arm around her and hugged her from the side. Stephanie laid her head on his shoulder. Should we load up soon? She finished quietly.
Yeah.
He said gently. Chris carried Amara out to her car seat while Stephanie sent the other kids to the bathroom. She had them hug Grandma and Grandpa before sending them out to the van. Chris helped buckle the little kids in their seats. After nearly 20 minutes, they were finally all situated and ready to go. It wasn't long before the van was quiet. Did the kids all fall asleep? Stephanie asked.
Huh?
Chris sat up suddenly.
He
turned and looked in the back of the van.
Looks like it. Well, Trey and Charlotte are awake in the back.
Did you fall asleep? Stephanie asked.
Huh. No, not really.
It's been kind of a hard day, Stephanie remarked.
I'm sorry.
Chris apologized. No, that was a question, not a statement, Stephanie clarified.
Yeah, I guess.
Want to talk about it, or do you want me to just leave you alone?
I don't know.
Chris laid his head back against the window. Have we scared you off yet? Stephanie asked. Chris gave her a weak smile.
No.
Good. It was quiet for a little while.
Katie and I wanted a big family,
Chris suddenly said solemnly. Stephanie glanced at him, waiting for him to go on. He looked lost in thought.
We had a lot of trouble getting pregnant,
he finally continued.
We tried for 5 years before Caden was born, then another 5 to get Amara.
I don't really know what that's like, Stephanie admitted. Jason would barely look at me and I would get pregnant. Chris chuckled.
Did you and Jason always want a big family?
He asked. Well, we knew we wanted kids. Yeah, I guess we wanted a big family, but it wasn't really just that we loved having kids. Stephanie suddenly remembered too well what it felt like to be pregnant and her stomach churned. Ugh, pregnancy was so hard. I got so sick. She shoved the memory of morning sickness from her mind. But we always just tried to live our lives by the Spirit, you know? So when God said it was time to have another, we never really questioned it. I mean, it was hard. I hated being sick. But we always knew that if we lived our lives the way God asked us to, then we would be better off. That the reward would be better than the cost. She trailed off. Chris smiled softly and nodded. He looked down at his hands and took a deep breath.
Stephanie?
He hesitated.
I don't know if you want to be with me.
Is that not really how you see things? She was worried she had come on too strong or that he didn't really have a testimony like hers.
No, that's not what I mean. I definitely know that living the way God asks us is the way to go. I just don't want to be a disappointment to you. Honestly, I'm no good. I'm not good enough for you.
What? You think I'm perfect or something? I thought for sure I would have convinced you otherwise by now. I assure you, I'm a mess. Chris swallowed and continued like Stephanie hadn't said anything.
I was always letting Katie down. Even when she was dying, I wasn't good enough.
He said bitterly. He shut his eyes tight and a couple of tears dropped onto his beard. Chris? Stephanie was starting to worry. He didn't answer. Is this about why you didn't stand in the blessing circle? Stephanie asked nervously. Chris gritted his teeth and blinked a couple more tears onto his beard, and then he wiped them off.
You deserve someone better,
he muttered. No, you deserve someone. You don't have to. Chris, I don't want someone who's perfect, she stammered. Stephanie was worried he was breaking up with her. She was flustered. How could she make him see that he didn't need to be perfect to be with her? She took a deep breath to calm herself down and started again. Have you ever killed someone? She asked plainly.
No.
He chuckled. Molested someone?
No.
He said shortly. Have you ever committed a crime of any kind?
I stole a candy bar when I was 6.
He answered. Stephanie smiled. That's it, though?
Yeah, no other crimes.
Chris confirmed. It's not a word of wisdom problem, she guessed.
No, it's not.
Stephanie was quiet for a moment, and then she nervously asked in a low voice, Did you cheat on Katie?
No. I mean, not really.
He said shamefully. Stephanie looked at him.
I mean, not with someone. Not someone real.
He stammered. Stephanie nodded and rubbed her face. Chris laid his head against the window again and wiped a couple more tears from his beard. It's been a rough year for you, Stephanie observed.
Huh, yeah, a little bit.
Chris agreed. Things are going to start getting better now, Stephanie reassured him. Chris rubbed his forehead.
I hope so,
was all he said. When they pulled up to Stephanie's house, the kids were all quiet. She turned off the van. She could now hear the sounds of shallow breathing. Stephanie and Chris looked at each other. What's the plan? She asked quietly. He shrugged.
You still want to see me again after everything?
Yeah, I really do, Stephanie replied. He scratched his head.
I guess I'll call you tomorrow sometime.
Then he added.
But not at 2:45, huh?
Yeah, or like any time between 2:45 and 8:30 p.m. or between 6:30 a.m. and 8.
I'll just call you at 5 a.m. then.
He teased. How about 10 a.m., Stephanie suggested.
Okay.
Chris got out and they started to unload the kids. Amara woke right up and looked like she was ready for a new day. Chris went to put her in the car, but remembered he needed to move the car seats. Stephanie was preoccupied with getting all the kids inside without them getting too awake. By the time she went back out to see if Chris needed help, he was pulling out of the driveway. He stopped when he saw her, and she walked over to the driver's side window. He rolled it down. "Do I get a good night kiss?" Stephanie asked. Chris leaned over and gave her a quick kiss.
"Good night,"
he said. "Good night," Stephanie replied. She got a lump in her throat as she watched him pull out of the driveway. Intense loneliness began creeping back into her heart. "It's okay," she reminded herself. "I have Chris now. Everything is going to be okay."